echo thoughts that have already been shared. Merry Christmas. This is good. You know, I like living in a place where I can say that without getting too much kickback. Gary, how are you? You too, Judy. Friday night, Evie and I went downtown. I understand some of the rest of you did. We didn't see anybody else downtown that we knew, but it was fun. We enjoyed going through it, enjoyed a few cookies, and I liked the little hors d'oeuvres of carrot sticks and broccoli. I'd never had that before, but it was nice that they served it. And I liked doing the Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And people would look at me and go, yeah, Merry Christmas. So it was kind of fun. Enjoyed that. Well, we're doing something a little different than normal at this moment. So if you're part of the mission team that's traveling with JK and Reese, would you five come up and assume this position? We're going to do a little anointing and praying for them before they travel. And for those who I asked to be part of the prayer team and the anointer of oils, come on up. I'm always tempted. I really want sometime to anoint somebody in the traditional way so we can just start pouring it on their heads and it saturates and it goes down into the beard and starts dripping to the floor, that outpouring of God's wealth upon you. But it's really hard on the carpet and the clothes. Besides, what would you do with like a half gallon of olive oil poured over your head? You know, that could be a thing. Well, Guy is going to anoint each of them with oil. And the one that you're behind will probably start with Harold and will end up with me down here. But I'm going to have Guy start the prayer and I'll end it. And then it'll go to you. But Guy's going to pray as he anoints and we'll move forward.
These five individuals that you've called out to go and minister in your name to be your ambassadors in places that are difficult, where there's pain, where there's anger, there's fear, there's confusion, there's a lack of understanding, there's darkness, God, that you would send them as your ambassadors to bring light, to bring the truth, to bring joy, true joy to those who are hurting. And Lord, we pray you protect them, you give them wisdom, give them supernatural self-control, God, that the fruit of the Spirit will just go through them as they serve in your name. And Lord, may you be glorified in all of these things. And now, my five brothers, in Jesus' name, amen. I will anoint you. Greg said just to dot. And so this is not something we do here. So, brother, in the name of Jesus, I anoint you as his ambassador to serve in North Carolina. Brother, I anoint you in the name of Jesus to serve in North Carolina. Brother, I anoint you in the name of Jesus to serve in North Carolina. And brother, I anoint you to serve in Jesus' name in North Carolina. Brother, I anoint you to serve in Jesus' name in North Carolina. May God be glorified.
Amen.
Father, we just lift these men up to you, Father, with your hands. Take them on their journey, Father, to North Carolina to help out. I thank you for their suffering and need. God, I pray as they go that they would meet those in need, Lord, through personal contact, through personal witness, through help, Lord, physically, spiritually, in every other way that might be appropriate at the time. God, just bless them and lead them, protect them, guide their thoughts and minds, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that they would be a blessing to the folks they come in contact with. Lord, in your name, be glorified and high and lifted up. God, that would cause some people to follow that thing. And God, it's so good. Mm-hmm. They might make a decision. Lord, if they're not ready to form the earth, God, that it would be a time of awakening. Time,
yes, Father God.
Of redemption. But bless God, accomplish what you want to accomplish. Pray to you.
Father, we thank you for these men and young women you called up from the mission field. You prepared for them, Lord, and their safety and their travel. And Lord, your words, you said, that you just that our hearts be plentiful, Lord, that you be glorified through this time. Father, what a privilege to be your hands and feet among your people. And Lord, we ask a special blessing on each one of these, especially the young guys. Lord, as they go out, that you may open their eyes, open their hearts to see your goodness, and see what you're doing in the world today. May this be an opportunity that you would draw them closer to yourself, that they would make that commitment to you to serve you, and just be your hands and feet in this world that you brought us into. Lord, we ask that you would watch over them, keep them safe. For those that are left behind, Lord, we ask that you might watch over them as well. And just be an encouragement to them, Lord. Open their eyes that they may see your truth. We ask in Jesus' name.
Well, and Father God, in Jesus' name, I too come to you, God, and I agree with these, my brothers, for all of the prayers that they pray. Father, I ask you to supply this team with all their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I ask you to fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them and guide them and strengthen them. God, give them discernment so they know what's of God and, well, what's not. And Father, I ask you to give them grace to hear from you, to be led by you, to be strengthened by you as they walk. God, fill them with purpose, your purpose, God. Father, show them the things that you want to show them, the things that you want them to learn while they're on this field and traveling there and back again. And Father, as you prayed for those that are left behind, particularly for the two mothers, the two wives that are left behind, Father, I ask you to cover them. God, I ask you to cover them with your Holy Spirit and surround them by your angels and strengthen them to walk and give them all the knowledge necessary to be all that you've called them to be. And Father, for us as the church of the living God, Father, we stand fast with our brothers. God, what you want for them, may it be supplied. God, tell us how to pray. Help us to pray through for them. And God, I do ask you to bring them home safely to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, you might notice that Evie's not here today. She's, what's that word, homesick. She's not homesick, but she's homesick. She sounds like a very old frog with laryngitis. And the look on her face this morning when I said goodbye, it was kind of a, but I'm glad that she can't see me say that, so that'll be good. Anyway, and for all the ill that we've had in the church or illness that we've had, may God heal. May God heal. This morning, the scripture that Yuming read is the text for today. And it's an incredibly exciting time. If you remember, last week we were talking about Zechariah and Gabriel speaking to him and then preventing him from speaking for a few months. And I like that at the end of it, in verse 23, it says, when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon after, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He's taken away my disgrace of having no children. And then we start on the verses for today. But just as a little background in that, you have to remember that under the Jewish tradition at the time, guys and girls were adults much earlier, much earlier. Mary could have been as young as 12. Somewhere between there and 16 is probably how old that she was. So ladies, I want you to think of yourself at that age, those of you that have attained that stately age of 12 to 16 or above, and think about what Mary is experiencing, what she says, because we as Protestant evangelicals tend to really downplay Joseph and Mary. And our Catholic brethren tend to, I think, overplay. But, you know, there's probably a balance in the middle there. And we, you know, God says some powerful things about this young lady. Some powerful things. And we should remember that as well. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, God, again, we come to you. And Father, we want to thank you for all things. We want to thank you for the state of our lives at the moment. We want to thank you for where we came and for where we're going. Father, I ask you to lead us and guide us through this time. Father, let us be a blessing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the scripture starts off and says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the same angel to Mary that he sent to Zechariah. And God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." You know, that statement in and of itself is a phenomenal statement. Can you imagine God sending an angel to you and going, "You're favored before God"? God has chosen to send the number one angel of communication to this young woman, Mary, who's betrothed to Joseph. It's not quite, well, it's more than an engagement, but not quite married. It's a powerful position to be in. It's a very strong position. Not one that a woman could easily get out of, but it is one that the man could get out of quite readily. Not saying it's fair, I'm saying it's the way it was. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And the angel said, one of my favorite statements, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." Well, she didn't doubt like Zechariah did. She didn't question that God could do this. She just says, how does this happen? What? It's not like I'm not going to do something. It's, how's this work? And so often I want to know how things work. And so many things in this world, I have no idea how they work. You know, there's a thing called a small engine. And I know that for some people, you can pull on this cord and it starts up and does stuff. I don't understand it. I stopped having a gas-powered weed eater a long time ago because they don't like me. I don't know why it is, but I don't understand that engine. Now, if I use an electric one, I get it. It makes sense. I can see the path that the electricity goes in my head, and it works every time. I put that battery on after I've charged. I hit the go button, and it does its thing. But if it's a small gas-powered engine, I'm hopeless. The thing I love about modern cars is they do so much that I used to have to do in theory. There was a time in my life that I could actually change the oil and do a grease job and change spark plugs and gap plugs and things like that. I got it. But of course, the cars were also big enough that I could sit on the hood with my feet down inside by the engine, and there was place to move around. And then they had computers. And when the computers came, I quit. I quit. You know, I feel like the computer took 2/3 of my job away from me, telling the engine to do something, and it did it. So I don't get it. So I understand that Mary is sitting here, and she goes, "I don't get this. I understand the process of childbirth." You know, and if you ever raised on a farm, you understand the process of childbirth. But how does this work? Because she's a virgin. It's a legitimate question that she asked. And the angel, Gabriel, had an answer. And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And that's an explanation that apparently meant something to her. She got it, that it's within God's purview. It's within his purview to be able to come upon her and the result is a pregnancy. And I've heard people argue, you know, who are biologists and go, well, this isn't the way it works. I would notice that when God creates something, God can do with it what he chooses. My father-in-law was a farmer. He's deceased now. Was a farmer in Iowa, and he had, a sixth grade education, but he was an incredibly intelligent man with a low education, standard education, but he knew so much. When I went down to get married, I had some of you might remember, I had a green pickup truck and a white camper shell on it. And I drove from Prince Rupert on, took the ferry to there, and I get down and getting ready for the wedding, and Floyd goes, Greg, something's wrong with your rear axle. And it didn't seem wrong to me. I couldn't hear anything or feel anything. He goes, something's wrong. And I go, okay, what do you suggest I do? And he goes, well, if you'll give me your permission, I'll just fix it. And I went, have at it. And he jacked it up, and I, you know, in my head, an axle is one piece. I didn't know it's got two main parts and all these other stuff. But he takes it out, and he goes, well, look at that. And I'm looking at it. It looks like a piece of steel to me. And he said, do you see it? And I go, no. He goes, well, it's not quite true. And he's rubbing his finger around it. See, right there, you can see it. It's not quite true. I can't see it. I can't see it. And I said, well, what happens now? He goes, well, I'll fix it. And I just went away. And I came back, and he's putting it back together again. And we took it out for a test drive, and we come back, and he goes, see, now that's the way it's supposed to be. Okay. After we're married, and we had a very unique honeymoon, we went from Iowa all the way out to Erie, Pennsylvania, stopping at churches where Evie had been on deputation, another way of raising money to be a missionary, and gave them their closeout, her closeout presentation. And then all the way back to Missouri, where we had this is the advantage of having two different hometowns. We had a reception in Iowa. Now we had a reception in Jefferson City, Missouri. Then we went back and loaded up the truck, and we drove, part of our honeymoon, all the way back up to Prince Rupert, hopped the ferry, stopped in Petersburg, got some more of her stuff, and then went on up to Juneau. And we had a reception here, a partial wedding and a reception here. This is great. Plan for many receptions. Didn't think of it in advance that way. It was pretty good. But after we got up here, I took the truck out to the Chevy dealer from whence I purchased it. And I explained to him what my father-in-law did. And the head of the shop there is looking at me and goes, he did what? And I said, well, he said there was a spot that wasn't true, so he trued it. And he goes, he's got a full-blown shop? And I go, well, not like you think of it. And he goes, well, does he have a blah, 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 blah machine? And I go, no, because he didn't do that. He goes, well, how did he do it? And I go, he did it by eye. He goes, we'll take it apart. We'll fix it. And so he takes it apart and puts it back together. They call me. I go up, and I go, well, how bad is it? And he goes, well, I'm not going to charge you anything. I have never seen anybody that could take one of these apart and true it by eye. He goes, the machine says it's perfect. And I can see where he did it, but it's perfect. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There was a farmer one time that was asked, can God heal? And the farmer said, of course he can. And they go, well, how do you perceive how this works? And he says, well, I'll tell you something. Sometimes I have equipment on my farm that breaks down, and sometimes I just fix it. And he said, if I have to manufacture a part, to make a part that's not even made anymore, I'll do it. I'll make a new part, and I'll put it together, and it works. He said, but sometimes I don't need that piece of equipment anymore, and I'm not going to fix it. And the equipment really doesn't have a lot of say on whether the farmer's going to fix the equipment or not. We have the privilege of seeking God on whether or not God's going to fix us. Now, that's an interesting concept if you think about it. And I will tell you that there's been times where I've seen a person get healed. And one of them happened on a Sunday night service right here. A lady's name was Blanche Rady. And she had a little grandson, Jack, who was, what's that phrase too? Oh yeah, holy terror. Okay, so you get the idea. And the service is over, and all of a sudden, I see Jack running around with Grandma's cane, and she really needs that cane. She's got a spider bite, a bad spider bite on her leg. The necrosis was pretty profound. It was being treated, but it wasn't really getting better. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go get that kid. His arrow needs straightening. And I'm getting ready to, and then Jimmy was up here. And he said, folks, could I have your attention for a minute? And he's standing there with Blanche, and she's just standing there. And he said, Blanche, I want you to tell people what you told me. And she goes, well, you know, my leg was really hurting this afternoon. And she said, I was praying. I was saying, God, do I really need to go to service tonight? Do I need to do this? And she said, well, and God answered me, and he said, if you go, I'll fix your leg. And she said, so I came. And she goes, my leg's fixed. And she does a little jump thing, and she walks out. And I'm thinking, so it's okay that Jack's playing with the cane. Okay, we don't have to do anything there. But God did something. And I will tell you, I on myself, one of them was just really simple. I was making hot water in the microwave. It's real hard. You put the cup in with the water in it, and you hit the go button for about a minute on that microwave. And it beeped, and I pulled it out, and I dropped the tea bag in it. And then I grabbed the cup and pulled it, and it sloshed, and water slashed on my, well, somewhere around here. And it hurt, boiling water. It hurt. And immediately a blister, it turned red, and a blister popped up. And I was actually intelligent for a change. And I said, God, what do I do? And God spoke to my heart, and he said, have Josiah kiss your owie. Well, Josiah is like 2 years old. And I go, Josiah, would you kiss daddy's owie? And he goes, uh-huh. And he comes over, and I point at it, and he goes, and when his lips left my hand, there was no blister, and there's no red spot, and there was no pain. Okay, so I'm going. Now, I'm a prostate cancer survivor. God chose not to heal me instantaneously, but I will tell you that my doctors, the radiation oncologist and my urologist, the surgeon, both use the term healed. I'll take healing however it comes. And so we got incredible medicine available to us. I use it 20 surgeries down. Trust me, I've used it. And I get to rejoice either way. It doesn't matter. And there will come a point, this is going to shock you, there will come a point where I'm dead, where I die. And when that happens, it's okay, because I also know where I'm going. And this portion of eternity is a really small time, if you think about it. You know, we're like that grass that grows quickly, and then it withers and it dies. But it's okay, because I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. So as I walk through this, each time it's like, God, okay, what are you going to do this time? It's kind of exciting. What are you going to do? Remember the story of Bill Stafford, who's an evangelist, and his papa was now living with him, and he and his wife had bought his dad a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, because for me, I could care less about a Cadillac, but for his generation in particular at that moment, a brand new big Cadillac's a big deal. Well, Bill's been out on the circuit, and he's coming home, and as he's driving down the road, he sees firefighters. Now, the difference between firefighters and police officers is people are almost never happy to see a police officer show up, and they're almost always happy to see firefighters show up. You know, we often wonder about that. But as he pulls up, he realizes that the brand new, beautiful Cadillac, including melted tires, is a lump of black steel in his driveway. And his daddy's sitting on the front steps with his head down, just shaking his head. And he goes, my dad's a new Christian. He's just learning what it means to walk with God. And he's brokenhearted about it. He jumps out of his car, and he goes running up, puts his arm around him, and goes, Daddy, are you all right? And he realizes his dad is just laughing. And he goes, oh, I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do next. I'm waiting to see what God's going to do next. And it's taken me a few years of walking to get there. And here we have this little girl who goes, I don't understand how you're going to do this. And then the angel gives a what doesn't look like an explanation to me, but she gets it and it has peace. And she's good to go. She's good to go. So regardless of your age in this room right now, I'm going to tell you that God has interest in what goes on in your life moment by moment. He likes it when you walk hand in hand with him, when you seek his face about what goes on. And that's what Mary was doing, was seeking God's face. How does this work? Not, I don't believe it. It's, how's this work? And God may share with you how it works, may not. But then you get to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, like if you were up here for a short time and determining whether you're going to stick around for a while or go back home and do something different, well, then seek God's face. Seek his face. And this goes on. I got to tell you, I love Luke 1 and 2 probably more than anything else in Luke, but it's just my favorite. And Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. May everything that you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Are you willing to accept God's will for your life? Mary was willing to accept God's will for her life. And talk about never in creation have we except Adam, have we had a virgin birth and Eve. Now this is a whole different type of virgin birth. And she said, what God has said, let it be unto me. What God has said, let it be unto me. That's a hard walk sometimes. When God speaks, when God leads, when God guides, when God takes you down a path that you've never been before, or that you've never even contemplated before. Do you believe? And belief has a requirement, and that it's the action of belief. Do you believe enough to walk through this process? Because realistically, what do you think is going to happen? Is Joseph going to be all excited? Hey, honey, I'm in the family way. Woohoo! All he's got to do is just say, okay, this is over, and set it aside. But we'll get to that later. But I'm going to tell you, she's willing because God said. And he goes, how do you know? It could just be her imagination that she saw. We don't see angels all the time, you know? But how do we know? That's called disbelief. She didn't disbelieve. She chose to believe. And, you know, it didn't matter if anybody else believed. She chose to believe. And I look around the room, and this is going to shock you, but I think you're really pretty good-looking people. Some of you are shorter than others, and some of you are taller than others. But we're people. The only difference between you and Mary is only if you choose not to believe. And you know, the season where we celebrate the days and hours and times around the birth of Christ, this is a time of miracle. It's a time of lots of miracles taking place. It's a time where God is beginning to speak corporately to his people, though they haven't really seen that yet. But he's getting ready to after, 400 plus years of silence, corporate silence, not individual. God has always been with his people. He's always had people to which he speaks. But here we are. And here we are today. And we're a people that are unique in creation, because the mystery of the ages has been revealed in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Technically, other than the writing itself, technically this part of the New Testament is really Old Testament, because the last of the Old Testament prophets is John the Baptist, and he's yet to engage in his ministry yet. The greatest of those prophets was John the Baptist, but he's yet to engage his ministry. You go, how come? Well, he's 6 months old in mama's womb. He's a little baby. Next week, we're going to find out some more about that, and that gets pretty exciting. But honestly, this is pretty exciting. And again, I mentioned it last week, that time when I was a teenager laying under a Christmas tree in our living room, a really tacky Christmas tree. Honestly, it was tacky. My mom would hate it if she heard me say that. But reading this, well, not this, the next couple weeks down, portion of scripture, going, if this were true, my error is that it is true. It is true. If you believe scripture, you have to believe all of the scripture, which means believing the story of the virgin birth, what led up to it. Means you have to believe that Gabriel actually came and spoke with Zechariah and spoke with Mary, and already was preparing Elizabeth's heart in ways that she'd never anticipated, ever. And the world was about to change. So where are you in that? And that would be the question of the day. We're going to do a little song of invitation. And not that I remember what this one, you might want to come on up. And today, maybe just a commitment for several things. If you're sitting here today and you've been in church your whole life and you've never really, sometimes we say it as ask Jesus into your heart. In my case, it was April 1st, 1980, 1:15 in the morning, end of the road in Sitka, Alaska, in the front seat of my police car with just the police radio on. And I began to pray. You know, pray is just having conversation with God. This is what we're talking about. And that means it needs to work both directions. And in my case, I said, God. And when I said God, I knew for the first time in my life, I knew that he was actually engaged. He was listening to me. He was present. Said, God, I've always known there's a God, and Lord, I choose to believe. I believe that you're Jesus. And I went ahead later and said to him that everything the Bible says about you, I don't even know what it says, but I believe it. And I knew what born again was, born from above, converted, because at that moment I was a Christian. I knew what a Christian was. I didn't know how to walk. I didn't know how to talk, but most babies don't. And you have to grow a little bit. But if you're in that position, then let today be the day of salvation. This is where you come to that Jesus, that baby in a manger who was already looking at the cross. It's still just the beginning of eternity to come. And if you're sitting here today and you are a Christian, but you've been battling decisions on how you walk, drive down that stake. Build that little altar in your heart of hearts that says, from this day forward, I will, by God's grace, follow Jesus all the days of my life. And if you're sitting here and you are a Christian and you're doing what you know to do to follow Jesus, and you haven't been baptized yet, make a choice today. It's an act of obedience. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do all about your salvation. And as these two ladies did a couple Sundays ago, realistically, they took a public stance on who they are in Christ Jesus. That's a big deal. Don't wait forever. Make that choice today. And if you're sitting here and you're an old, dried up person, I'll fill the category. For the rest of the days that God gives you, recommit to the fact that he's still got calls on your life. He's still set a He's got a program in place. Get on board. I will tell you that in February of this year, Evie and I had zero plans to be here right now. Zero plans. And a lady in Jeff City, who I honestly don't like very much, she's a very difficult person, came up to Evie and hugged her and said, "I am so proud of you." And Evie goes, for what? And she said, "For recognizing that God spoke to your heart and some other people's hearts, and you're willing to follow at 72. Well, what is 72? How old was Methuselah? Okay, it's not much. So if you're less than that, remember this 12 to 16-year-old girl that Gabriel showed up to and delivered a word from God. And she said, "Whatever God has said, let it be so unto me." Because we know that when God's word goes forward, it is true and righteous and correct now and forever, and it will not fail. It will not fail. So don't you be the failure part. Step forward and walk in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, again, we come to you, and you've never left our presence. But God, help us to be intentional even right now and recognize your presence in our lives, in our hearts, in this room. And Lord, what you want, we choose to want. Just lead us and guide us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.
King of Kings.